بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So the next question is, why does each surah have a bismillah? Why is it that we want to start every surah with a bismillah? And this goes back to the meaning of the word surah. When we say that we have a surah, surah comes from the word sur. Sur meaning a high wall. Okay, this word is mentioned in Surah Hadid, I believe, where it comes in this form. Sur meaning a high wall. Why is a surah called a surah? What has it got to do with a high wall? If you think about it, every surah has a specific purpose. You know, sometimes in the hadith we also see that if you want to achieve this particular thing, then recite this surah. Or this particular surah gives these and these effects. That tells us that each surah is a comprehensive package of one piece of information. It's all linked together and it has a piece, you know, a related content that makes it a package of its own. And so one way of thinking about it is that this surah, the walls that it's indicating, is showing that it is a package of ma'rifah that has been revealed in this particular surah. Another way to think about it is that what is a high wall for? Why do we use a high wall? A high wall is usually used around a city in order to protect itself, to stop the attacks happening. And so what we find is that Shaitan is going to try and attack us from all different angles. And each surah is a specific defense mechanism that it gives us in order to protect us from the many attacks that Shaitan may make on us. So you can think of it in two ways. It's either that it is one package of ma'rifah that is independent of the others, and it is one particular defense mechanism that is again defending us from the attacks of Shaitan. Why is it that we need to start this surah with Bismillah? Because if we look at the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in this verse we are saying, I am starting with a name of Allah. But we're not mentioning which name here. It's very general. And that's because this name is now linked to that particular surah. The surah, depending on what information it contains, depending on what ma'rifah it has, it is manifesting a particular name of Allah, a particular characteristic or an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we start with Bismillah before that surah, we are invoking that particular manifestation, that particular name of Allah that is being manifested within this particular surah. And all these names, they're to do with His Rahmaniyya, His Rahimiyya. And so it is a manifestation of Allah's mercy. This particular name, even though we haven't mentioned what it is, but it's the one that is linked to this surah and that is going to help me get the fruit out of this particular surah. And I'm invoking Allah's name based on that. We have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi where he says, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِبَالٍ لَا يُذْكَرُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ فِيهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَر. Every work in which the name of Allah is not mentioned is abtar. Now what is abtar? We see this word being used at the end of Surah Al-Kawthar as well. Abtar means something whose end is cut off. Now, this is a very important point over here. When we say that the end of something is cut off, we know that the goal or the result of any action or work that we perform comes at the end of it. And if it doesn't reach the end, then we're not going to get the fruit out of it. We're not going to reach the result that we want to get. In other words, for an action to reach its goal, it must be founded in truth and it must originate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, it must begin with the name of Allah. Because it's not the case that something that starts off with false can end up in truth. We want to make sure that we start off with the truth, and as a result of that starting with the truth, we get the fruit out of what we are doing. So if we want to ensure that any of our actions reach the truth, they must begin with the truth, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ultimate goal of every action is to reach the ultimate perfection, who is Allah. Now, Atla Jawadi brings something very interesting over here, where he says that the goal of any action, if it is to be reached, then it needs two characteristics. And he names them al-husn, husnul fi'li والحسن الفاعل. What do we mean by these two? Think of any action that we perform. In order for it to reach its fruits, the action itself has to be something good. It has to be positive and something good. But that's not enough. There has to be this husna fa'ili as well. The husna fa'ili means that the performer of that action must also be good. In other words, the intention behind this action must be a good intention. And the only way that is done is by associating the action with Allah in some way. And this is why we recite Bismillah for any action that we perform. Because even if the action is good, then we want to make sure that the niyyah and the association is also good and it's done for the sake of Allah and none other. If any one of these two are missing, then we're not going to reach the fruit. We're not going to reach the goal. So it's not enough for the action just to be good. For example, we pray or we give charity, but the intention there is just to show off. That's not going to give us the fruit. But it's also not enough for the doer to be good if the action isn't good. There may be somebody who is sincere, but the action being performed is not good. So both of these go hand in hand for the action to be described as hasan. It takes on both of these qualities of husn, and by linking it to Allah, who is the source of all goodness, this brings about its fruit. And if this link is missing, then it cannot reach its goal. Now, this is the explanation that Al Jawadi said, but we may have a question. We say that, look, don't we find that sometimes we perform actions which may not be good or not with a sincere niyyah, but they still reach their goal? For example, I might drink wine to quench my thirst. The thirst is quenched, so has it not reached its goal? I give charity to show off, but I'm achieving two things. Yes, I'm getting the fame, but the person who was in need is getting the money. His need is being relieved. So is that not a case of the action reaching its goal? So Atala Jawadi explains here that this isn't actually the ultimate goal of that action. This is just an intermediate step. The actual goal, the ultimate goal of every action is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way we will know that the action has reached its ultimate goal is when we reach the Day of Judgment and we will see whether it has been accepted and has reached the truth or not. So, he now goes on to tell us a secret. What is the secret behind why that any action that is performed without taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abtar and it is cut off and it won't reach its ultimate goal, which we will realize on the Day of Judgment? Allah tells us that it is only He that is the one who remains forever. We know some of His names. For example, He is Al-Baqi, meaning the one who is going to remain. And if He is the only thing that is going to remain, and nothing else is Al-Baqi, that means everything else perishes. So the only way of making our action remain and thereby reach its ultimate goal is by linking it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us look at the Quran itself and see where this is being reflected. We see this verse, for example, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everyone on it is transient, is temporary, but lasting is the majestic and honorable face of your Lord. So it's وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ, it's وَجْهُ اللَّهِ that is the only thing that can remain. Look at the next verse. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is perishing except His face. Now if you look carefully at the second verse, it doesn't say كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَهْلُكُ or سَيَهْلُكُ, meaning everything will perish. It says everything is perishing. For those of you who've done Arabic before, it's the ism fa'il which is used. Just like when we say, for example, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We don't say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ نَرْجِعُ, that we will return to Him. We say no, راجعون. We are at every moment in our existence returning to Him. It's not bound by time to say, I was doing it or I will do it. The same thing over here. Everything is perishing except His face. That is saying that everything, even now, is in a state of perishing. It's already in that state, except the face of Allah. And if we want to make sure that our action does not perish, then we need to link it with Allah. Because if we're linked to Allah, then that action will also continue. So to conclude this part, The reason for the Quran and each surah starting with Bismillah is because Allah is teaching us that we need to start all of our work with the name of Allah in order to give it continuity, in order to get its fruit and reach its goal. And this applies to the surahs themselves, so that we can get the fruit from that surah and that specific purpose that surah is for, as well as any one of our other actions.